Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative and all-sufficient Word of God, such as taught in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Over 3,800 times reference is made to God's Word, thus saith the Lord, and other references to what the Lord has spoken. It is man's lamp unto his feet and a guide to his path, because it tells man of his origin, his purpose, how to live, and his eternal destiny. And it shall endure forever, 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. The Bible teaches that man is accountable to God. Acts 17 and verse 31, God has appointed a day which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. And he goes on to identify that man as the resurrected one, which is Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, an understanding of the Bible is vital to our welfare. The fact that we shall be held accountable shows that God expects us to know his will, and he expects us to obey it. It was given for that very purpose. And while we recognize there are portions of Scripture that we find difficult to understand, we can know and we can believe the truth to the salvation of our souls. And many other signs truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. In order to know, we must study, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding simply means to rightly divide or handle aright the word of truth that God has given. We have to respect all the Scripture as inspired of God, but realize that all of it is not applicable to us today as far as giving us the will of God that he expects us to follow. He expects us to follow him through Christ. And this statement requires further elaboration, so let me illustrate. The most important question a person can ask, whether he realizes it or not, is, what must I do to be saved? Now, there is something that man must do to please God. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Scripture we read many things people have been taught to do and not to do. Now, which of those things gives answer to the momentous question for you and for me? And this leads us to a discussion of the subject of the dispensations. Now, a dispensation is simply a system of rule over a span of time by which God governs man during that time. We live subject to the same God as did those in ancient days, but we live under different rules and a different system of religion. And our failure to understand this will prevent us from knowing what applies to us today and what is expected now and for what we shall be held accountable. The Scriptures present three dispensations, each with distinguishing characteristics, although some traits are common to all three. So let us turn our attention to these things. The first dispensation is called the Patriarchal Age because it was a period of father rule, and we read of this period entirely in the Old Testament. The word patriarch means father. This period was characterized by God speaking to the heads of families and through them giving his instructions. It was a family religion where the father served as priest or the go-between between God and man. Such men as Adam and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they all lived under such a system. Now, there was not a written law, but God's directions were orally given. It called for worship in the form of animal sacrifices and altars. We read of sacrifices offered by Abel and Abraham and Noah and others that were pleasing to God. Cain offered an unacceptable sacrifice in this same dispensation, this same period. We must notice that the principles of faith and obedience were very prominent in this age, as we shall observe them to be prominent in all three dispensations. And even though they believed and obeyed laws and rules that were peculiar to them and to their time, These principles of faith and obedience were dominant. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read of various people in the patriarchal age who, by faith, obeyed what God told them to do. The second dispensation is called the Mosaic Age because it is characterized by God speaking to the nation of Israel through the laws that He gave through Moses. Beginning at Sinai, God directed this one special nation of people in this fashion. The laws that God gave to Moses were never for any other nation except Israel. Whereas the patriarchal age consisted of a family religion, this age was a national religion. As the father served as priest in the first age, there was a special priesthood taken from among the tribe of Levi under this system. But similar to the first, this second age also included worship by animal sacrifices alongside other rituals of worship. There were many observances of days and years and seasons. They had feasts and fastings and washings and pilgrimages and other formalized manners of worship. The Mosaic Age was characterized by a written law, even though God often spoke directly to various ones. It was intended and designed to be a temporary system, exclusively for Israel, until Christ came, Galatians 3:24 and 25. It provided the coming Christian age with examples and lessons, Romans 15 and verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, lessons and examples that would be applicable to those who lived under Christ. It was not intended to be lasting, but it was taken out of the way, being nailed to the cross, fulfilled by the coming and the mission of Jesus Christ, Colossians 2 and verse 14. Jesus said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill." And fulfill He did. But we see again the operation of the principles of faith and obedience, God's mercy and God's grace, and blessings to those who conform to the will of God, and God's wrath manifested against every evil way. The third dispensation of the Bible is the Christian age, and it's called this because it is the period when God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. This age had been the goal of the first two. As early as Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, arrows, as it were, had been pointing to the coming of man's Savior, the seed of woman, the Redeemer of all mankind. God made great promises to Abraham, including the one whereby all the families of the earth would be blessed through his seed, which Paul identified as the Christ in Galatians 3 and verse 16. This system and this period will extend until the return of Jesus Christ, and it is called the last days because it is the final dispensation. It came into authority on the first day of Pentecost following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, as Jesus had promised, and the good news of salvation through Christ was first announced to a sinful and doomed world. Whereas the former dispensations were either a family or a national religion, the faith of Christ is for all men everywhere. It is a universal religion, and the inclusion of accountability extends to everyone. For this reason, the gospel is to be preached to every creature. Now, like the Mosaic Age, there was a written law of Christ, which is the New Testament revelation. It is the gospel age, the age of the existence of the kingdom of God that had been foretold and promised and prophesied and gradually unfolded in plan during the former ages. Jesus is now reigning as king over his spiritual kingdom, which is the church. Those who are in the church are the same ones who compose the kingdom. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that they had been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. It is an age when men must respond to the will of God as revealed through the authority of His Son, for there is no other to whom we can turn for salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14 and verse 6. And as in former ages, there is the necessity for worship. There's the principle of faith and obedience. the manifestation of the grace and love and mercy of God. Blessings belong to the obedient, and punishment can be expected by those who choose to ignore God and His Son. Now, a practical application of what we have learned is before us. Concerning the all-important question, what must I do to be saved? We turn not to directions that may have been given to the patriarchs or to the Jews through Moses. We must learn the will of God as it came through Christ, for it is obvious that we live subject to God in this age, the others having long ago terminated. To learn how to worship God today, we turn not to learn what Abraham and Moses did, but what the early Christians did as they were guided by the inspired apostles. Whereas some of the principles of God's dealings with man are the same from age to age, the specifics of God's ordinances and commands have varied. Noah, for instance, was told to build an ark, but we are not so commanded. Moses was commanded to cross the Red Sea, but we do not cross that sea. Abraham was never commanded to eat the Lord's Supper or to be baptized, but we are. Instrumental music may have been heard in former ages, but that is not authority for today. Animal sacrifices no longer are offered because of Christ, who was once offered for the sins of man, and that is the all-inclusive and sufficient sacrifice to which all previous sacrifices were but types and forerunners. Circumcision was a part of the Mosaic system, as were the Ten Commandments, but they are not included in the Christian system. True, we are not to steal. But not because God through Moses told the Jews not to steal, but because God through the authority of Christ teaches us not to steal. It's a matter of recognition of who has the authority. All authority belongs to Christ, Matthew 28 and verse 18. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ, John 1 and verse 17. The authority of Christ extends through the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, and as inspired men committed to Scripture that which was inspired and infallible and inerrant, authoritative and all-sufficient. And we shall stand before God in judgment, as shall all others who have ever lived, regardless of the dispensation under which they lived, but we shall be judged according to the words of Christ, John 12 and verse 48. And all others shall be judged according to the law under which they lived. And friend, unless we rightly divide the Scriptures according to the dispensations, we shall remain in the confusion of the present religious world that has taken part of this system and that system and another system and mixed them all together and produced no system that has ever been ordained of God. Each past age had a God-given purpose. Now all men are subject to God through Christ. Do you know what Christ has commanded? Have you obeyed what Christ has commanded? We shall answer when God shall judge us by Him. Acts 17, verse 31. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.